Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on stacking a jungle chop using macro controls creatively. By the end of this lesson, you'll know how to take a breakbeat, slice it up, layer it, and shape it with macros so you can perform the groove, automate movement, and make your drum and bass arrangement feel alive. This is one of those classic jungle and DNB techniques that sounds way more advanced than it actually is once you understand the workflow. We're going to keep this practical and beginner-friendly, and we'll use stock Ableton tools the whole way through. That means devices like Simpler, Drum Rack, Auto Filter, Saturator, Utility, Glue Compressor, and a few macro mappings to tie everything together. First, let's talk about what we're actually building. We're making a stack jungle chop. That means we're not just using one breakbeat loop and calling it done. We're taking a break, chopping it into slices, then layering extra drum elements on top, like a snare layer and a top texture or hat layer. Then we'll map important sound changes to macros so one nod can control things like tone, dirt, space, width, and motion. That gives you a rack you can play and automate like an instrument instead of manually editing every little slice. So let's start with the source material. Pick a solid breakbeat at around 160 to 174 BPM. A classic jungle break, a DNB break, or even a clean drum loop with strong kick and snare hits will work. You want something with clear transients and some ghost notes, but not too much room reverb. If the loop is already super polished, it may not have enough character. If it's too messy, that's okay too, but you'll need to slice it carefully. Drag the break into an audio track. If it doesn't line up with the grid, turn warp on and make sure it loops cleanly. Set your project tempo somewhere around 170 BPM to start, since that's a great jungle and drum and bass zone. You can always adjust later once the chop feels right. Now comes the fun part, slicing. The quickest beginner workflow is to right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the dialog, choose Transient as the slicing preset so Ableton places slices based on the drum hits. Put the slices into a drum rack, and Ableton will create a MIDI track with each slice assigned to a pad. If you want more control, you can drop the break into Simpler instead and use Slice Mode there, but for this lesson, the Slice to New MIDI Track approach is the fastest way to get moving. Now we build the stack. A stack chop works because the break is not doing all the work alone. We're going to layer the main break slices with a separate snare layer and a top texture layer. The main break slices are the core groove, that's your identity. Then add a snare layer. This could be a one-shot snare that reinforces the backbeat, or a snare with a bit more crack and presence than the one inside the break. Keep it focused. You can process it with Saturator for a little soft clipping, and use EQ8 to cut low end, below about 120 Hz so it doesn't muddy the mix. Then add a top layer, like a hat loop, shaker, or noisy break top. High pass it with auto filter or EQ8 so it stays out of the way of the kick and bass. If needed, reduce the width a bit with utility, and add just a touch of redux if you want some grit and texture. The reason we stack is simple. One break can sound cool, but stacked layers give you more punch, more clarity, and more control when you start moving macros around. Now let's program a basic jungle chop pattern. Open the MIDI clip and start with something simple, maybe one or two bars. Don't try to fill every empty space right away. Jungle feels powerful because of the push and pull between busy hits and little pockets of air. Think of it like this. The kick is the anchor, the snare is the statement, the ghost notes create swing and momentum, and the hats or top texture give the whole thing speed and energy. A good beginner move is to keep the main snare hit strong, then add a few chopped ghost notes before or after the snare to create that rolling movement. You can also add a tiny stutter or a quiet reversed slice at the end of a phrase for a little tension. A very important teacher tip here. Don't overchop too early. If every tiny transient gets used all the time, the groove can get messy and lose its impact. Start with the main kick and snare structure, then add flavor around it. Also, try to think in phrases, not just loops. Make bar 2 answer bar 1. Maybe bar 1 is tighter and bar 2 is a little more open. That little conversation between bars makes the chop feel musical instead of mechanical. Now we're going to turn this into a rack we can control with macros. If your slices are in a drum rack, that's already a great start. You can group the drum rack if needed and expose the macro controls. If you want to control multiple devices on the rack or track, make sure the key effects are sitting on the rack chain or on the drum bus, so you can map macros to them. Let's put together a practical stock Ableton processing chain. Start with EQ8. Use it to clean up the low end and any muddiness. A high pass around 25 to 35 Hz is a good safety move, and if the break sounds boxy, A gentle cut around 250 to 400 Hz can help. Next, add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Something like 2 to 6 dB of drive with soft clip-on can add attitude and make the drums feel denser. Then use glue compressor to glue the stack together. You don't want to crush it. Keep the gain reduction modest, maybe 1 to 3 dB. A 2:1 or 4:1 ratio with a medium attack can give you punch without flattening the groove. Add utility if you need to control the stereo image. It's especially useful for keeping the low-end mono while letting the top layer breathe wider. And if you want sweepable movement, keep auto filter in the chain too. That's one of the easiest things to map to macros for buildups and transitions. Now let's map the macros creatively, because this is where the rack becomes playable. Macro 1 can be tone. Map that to EQ8's high shelf or cutoff, and maybe to auto filter cutoff as well. Low tone means darker and more muffled. High tone means brighter and more aggressive. Macro 2 can be punch. Map this to the snare layer volume, maybe one of the stronger break slices, and possibly a small adjustment in glue compressor threshold. When you raise it, the drum stack should feel tighter and harder hitting. Macro 3 can be dirt. Map this to saturator drive and maybe a little redux downsampling. Keep the range sensible. We want grime, not chaos. Macro 4 can be space. Map it to reverb amount or send level if you've got a subtle reverb on the rack. This is great for intro sections, breakdowns, and fills. Macro 5 can be width. Map this to utility width. Keep your low end centered and let the top layer open up a bit. Macro 6 can be chop motion. This one is for movement and performance. You might map it to a filter on the top layer, a small change in sample start on select slices, or even a beat repeat style effect if you want to get more experimental. A really important tip from a producer point of view: macro ranges matter. A small move often sounds more professional than a huge one. If a knob only sounds good at the very top or very bottom, tighten the range so it becomes easier to perform musically. Now let's talk about how to actually use those macros in a track. In the arrangement, think in sections. For example, you might start with a filtered intro, then open things up in the build, hit the drop with full punch and dirt, then bring in a more spacious variation, and later return with a second drop that's even heavier. A simple arrangement could look like this in your head. First section is dark and filtered, then the build opens the tone and adds some dirt, then the drop hits dry and punchy, then a fill brings in some space and motion, and then the next section comes back harder. That's the key idea here. The macros are not just sound design tools. They're performance tools. You can open the tone during the build, add dirt right on the first hit of the drop, widen the top layer only in fills, and pull the space back so the main groove stays strong and focused. If you want the drop to feel bigger, use contrast. Make the intro smoother, darker, and more filtered. Then, when the drop lands, make it drier, punchier, and more aggressive. That contrast is a huge part of jungle and DNB energy. Now let's add variation, because a loop without variation gets old fast. Duplicate your MIDI clip and make a few small changes. Add one extra ghost note before the snare. Remove a hit for a little bit of breath. Add a reverse slice at the end of bar 4. Maybe make one bar with reduced low end or a more open top layer. These little changes keep the arrangement moving without you having to rebuild everything from scratch. You can also make answer versions of the chop. One clip can be more empty, one can be busier, and one can end with a little stutter or reversal. Swap them every 4 or 8 bars so the listener hears the groove evolving. Another very useful move is to automate the macros in short bursts instead of long, obvious sweeps. A quick spike on chop motion at the end of a phrase can make a fill hit much harder than a huge, slow automation curve. Let's cover a few common mistakes so you can avoid them early. One mistake is overchopping. If you use every slice all the time, the groove can become cloudy. Keep one layer simple so the rhythm has room to breathe. Another mistake is leaving too much low end in the break. Clean it up with EQ8 or utility so it doesn't fight your bass line. Another big one is mapping macros without a purpose. Every macro should have a job. Tone, punch, dirt, space, width, motion. Those are clear, musical jobs, and they're easy to remember when you're performing. Also, don't forget mono compatibility. Keep the low end centered. Wide breaks can sound great in headphones, but if the low and low mid content gets too wide, it can fall apart in a club or on smaller speakers. And finally, don't leave the arrangement static. Even if the loop sounds great, it still needs movement across the song. Automation is what turns a cool loop into an actual track. Here are a few extra pro moves you can try once you're comfortable. Try layering a tiny click with the kick slices so the kick reads better on smaller speakers. Try pitching one or two slices slightly up or down to make the pattern feel less repeated. Try adding a super quiet ambience layer behind the break, like vinyl noise or a room texture, just enough to make it feel alive. You can also resample your macro movements once you like them. Record the processed result to audio, then chop that audio again. That's a classic way to get even more personal and textured results.